So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 82. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about theories based on the trailer. As always, I'm Mikey B, and joined by my co-host, Caitlin. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey.
Welcome back. We missed you last week.
Yeah, it happened. It's when I have to go to Hoth.
I know, right? I saw the picture, like, snow, and I'm like, ooh, Canada.
Yeah.
It's like a foreign country.
That's the sad part, is that snow picture was my own home. Then I went further north.
Oh.
The next day.
But you didn't even comment when I said Canada. It's like a foreign country. But anyway.
Yeah.
We also have...
Just let that go.
Yeah, right? We also have Eric joining us. Hey, Eric, welcome back. It's been a while.
Mikey, Caitlin, it's good to be back.
That's good to have you back. We're happy to have you. So if you want to get involved in our conversation, you guys can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook today for free, including the new Phasma book or Princess Leia novel are on there, and they're kind of awesome. I finished both of them, and I'm reading, From a Certain Point of View. I had to think of the title. From a Certain Point of View, the short story Star Wars one, because apparently Aunt Beru is apparently the most important character in Star Wars, and I need to read this short story to really find out. But check it out. Even if you have an existing Audible account and you haven't done a promotional trial in a while, if you use that, you'll get a free credit also. So definitely visit audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. Get a free book on us. You don't even have to sign up. You can cancel after you get the free book. We also have launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks are Discord chat and the possibility of joining us on a Resistance Radio episode, like we had Brack do, I think, 2 episodes ago. So we are happy to have him. Join us in the recording studio so you can listen to us live and all the random outtakes, which apparently I left into last week's show, and I have to go back and edit those out. Because that happens, apparently. Thank you, Patreon members, for telling me that I left them in there. Movie nights. Our next movie is coming up soon. We just have to finalize a date that we all work. And After Dark. I know, right? We have real lives outside of here. And also our After Dark episode. So there's a lot of really cool things you get on Patreon. And if you choose the highest level of Patreon, after 3 months, we'll send you a Resistance Radio t-shirt. But you don't have to join Patreon to get that t-shirt. You can actually visit our website at resistanceradio.net and buy any of our t-shirts or buttons that we have available on our website, which are going to be awesome gifts for the holidays or something to wear to the premiere of The Last Jedi.
Nice.
I think so. I'm going to wear one. Anyway, moving on to the news. So this first bit of news, did you guys get a chance to look at this bit of news that I linked there?
I did not.
Yes.
All right, so take a look at it.
It's awesome.
It's kind of awesome. So this first bit of news is a gentleman from Ohio, Parma, Ohio, specifically. For Halloween, he built a life-size, or a two-story tall, I guess not life-size, a two-story tall AT-AT walker. It's in his front yard. Like
it's bigger than his house.
No, it's like the top of it like stops right at the roof, the top of his roof of his house. So he's got a two-story AT-AT walker. He built it, he started building it a while ago. Back in March he started. So obviously, I don't think this was just for Halloween, but that's obviously, people are decorating for Halloween. He's going to have a Christmas walker and a Halloween walker.
Yeah.
So I'm a little jealous of this. Check it out. We'll link to it in our notes. What do you guys think about this?
Looks pretty badass.
It's kind of awesome. Like, I kind of wish I had this, like, in my backyard or in my front yard.
Awesome. Kids dressed up as like Ewoks or not Ewoks.
His kids can dress up like Ewoks and take it down.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, when his wife is tired of it and he has to take it down, they should get a bunch of the neighborhood kids to get on it.
And I'm just thinking, I don't know how much snow Ohio gets, but I'm wondering how well it would cope with snow. I know it's supposed to survive Hoth, but...
Yeah, well, I'm sure he waterproofed it. Is it wooden? I'm sure he probably maybe waterproofed it.
Well, he made it with, it is wood. Well, I'm assuming part of it's wood because he made it with a carpenter friend. So I'm assuming a carpenter would be using his choice of material. Which
they build with all materials. Yep. You know,
it's quite, like the frame could be like wood to make it more sturdy. And then they might have used a lighter material to so it's easier to stack.
I'm sure you know, this guy seems to know what he's doing. Build something out in the yard. It's going to be able to handle, if it can handle the rain, it can handle the snow. I was thinking this would have been really, really cool, though, if it were like a clubhouse, like a treehouse. Like, if you could go up and have, you know, have some lunch in it.
And pretend like you're General Veers, just like getting inside of it and be like,
Don't worry, Lord Vader.
Not far to, like,
Yeah, maybe not the cockpit if it's like, you know,
made out of cardboard.
Structurally, if it couldn't handle it. But definitely the main body area. It probably looks like it's, you know, 3 or 4 feet wide by like 7 or 8 feet deep. You know, you could have some lunch up there and open up the side flap and look out at the neighborhood from a whole new perspective. Beats, you know, certainly it's obstructing the view of his upstairs windows. So might as well put windows in the side of this thing.
Yeah, and it can
could have some barbecue pork.
A little barbecue pork picnic there.
I love it.
Barbecue pork. Sounds delicious. Well, you know, she could change it into AT-ACT, you know, the ones from from Rogue One that have those sides that actually open and still be movie accurate.
There you go.
But I am a fan of this. This is looking good. I do like it how it's just like sitting on the lawn in front of like, you know, normal house with like a car in the driveway, house with the AT-AT, and then just like a normal house again. So it's like, you know, just this is what I got here.
I want to see an interview with this guy where he's like, the neighbors are pissed now.
I was going to say, I wonder if like a municipal like worker has to go out and be like, you must remove this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like breaks any city ordinances or anything like that. But actually, funnily enough, I'm sure he started a feud with his neighbors. I'm sure now his neighbors are going to try and build bigger and better geek, you know, items in their front yards. It's going to be an all-out war.
Well, if you dig further into the article, he built this in response because his neighbor built a TARDIS sitting on the front lawn.
Well, there you go.
No, I'm joking. That was completely
in this neighborhood.
I totally made that up. That was just a joke there. Because, you know,
I'm so gullible.
I know. I'm sorry. You know, it was in response.
Well, put it this way. I read the article. I didn't read that, and I still like. To be honest, though, if that was the neighborhood, I'd want to move there.
It would be a fun neighborhood. Like, you'd be able to get along with
a
everybody.
A TARDIS in one.
Property values just went right all the way up. You know, I don't want to make any enemies here saying this, but I think the AT-AT is more visually pleasing on somebody's front yard than the TARDIS would be.
As much as I love Doctor Who, I might have to agree with you on that, just because... Here's the thing: is the TARDIS will look just like a police phone box, or you know, a telephone box. So it's like, so it won't really like, unless you knew what you were looking at. It might just be something like, oh, why does someone have an old phone box in their front yard? Now, the AT-AT is pretty obvious.
I want like a massive, not a life size. I want like a house size R2-D2 with a slide, like a spiral slide on the like outside.
Yeah.
The top piece would be, like, the little, like, hangout, like, the treehouse section, and you could see out, like, his, like, kind of view, like, eye, and then, like, a spiral slide on the outside to come back down.
That would be amazing. And then you'd have to have, like, a BB-8 bouncer, so you can, like, you know those bouncy balls that you, like, sit on as a kid, bounce up and down? You'd have to have a BB-8 version of that? Yeah. No.
You could have, a ball pit on the bottom part.
All right, moving on. As much as I wish I had an AT-AT in my front yard, I don't think my wife will let me. We got some new toys from Star Wars The Last Jedi, and they reveal some new lines of dialogue from Luke and Rey.
Ooh.
Now, so for those of you who are Star Wars fan, you know, character collectors, you know, toy collectors, you know that in September, when Force Friday and Force Friday 2, which was for this movie, released all the wonderful toys. We even had a talk about this. We had Dano on who has like the number 2 video when it came to Force Friday on YouTube. And it's one of those things where we talked about all the different lines that the characters have with their Star Wars Force Link. And for those of you who don't know what Force Link is, if you remember back when the Phantom Menace came out, there was these chips that the characters all had and a little speaker box type thing. And you can go ahead and It was called Comtech, and you can actually listen to the lines from the movie with really bad speaker. Now it's the same thing, but it's a little bit more advanced. You got a really cool Force Link glove, and you can like have the characters speak their lines. But those are the characters that were released in the very first wave. Of course, Disney, it doesn't stop there, and they release more and more toys. And guess what? We have four new characters that have been released in this wave. DJ, Leia, and Rey. And Luke, actually. And Luke. DJ, Leia, Rey, and Luke have all been released. And this is the first time we get some lines from DJ, because DJ hasn't been in any of the trailers, which is Benicio del Toro's character.
Right.
The five lines that he has on his character is, "Hey, I'm a thief. Oh, for Hutt's sake."
I like that line.
I like that line there.
Yeah.
"I can get you out of here. If the price is right, let's get this over with." So we got some five simple lines from him. And it definitely plays up his kind of a rogue who's not in it on either side. He's not with the Resistance. He's not with the First Order. He's definitely a kind of a you know, we've heard he's like a hacker, a slicer for hire. "Hey, I'm a thief," you know, line there. But I do like
those lines make me think of like episode 4 version Han Solo.
Yeah, they're definitely episode 4-ish version of Han Solo. But I do like the "oh, for Hutt's sake."
Yes. I read that and smile. I cackled.
Yeah, so far that line is winning out. That is the reason to buy this toy.
Yeah, so DJ, we don't know who he is. We don't know much. If you read the Phasma book, I'm almost wondering if he's a character that's featured prominently in there. But we just don't know. So there's some really cool things that DJ is supposed to kind of tie certain things together. So we're excited to see it. But he's definitely this person who's going to tie into the story on Canto Bight with Finn and Rose that we know. So I'm excited to see what we can learn more about Benicio del Toro's character. And he's also getting a comic. Leia, I will be honest, I'm a little underwhelmed with her lines. Basically, her lines are, "Together we can defeat the First Order. May the Force be with you. Send them in. I will do everything I can to help. All troops, open fire." So we definitely know she's general there. "All troops, open fire. May the Force be with you." Classic Leia line. "Send them in." You know, it doesn't give us much on Leia's character. At least I don't see anything. Is there anything that I'm missing there, guys, with Leia?
I think it does show that she is more of a director, a general in this war, in this film, you know, for her role. Also be way spoiler if she had a line like, "I love you, son," or something, you know, little on the nose.
I can't believe you're going to kill me like you killed your father. You know, something.
Yeah.
Something on the nose. Plus, like,
don't
honestly,
pull the trigger, Kylo. You know.
Well,
most of these times, the toys like this, they have to be generic so that if somebody playing with them, they can use those phrases in their like play, right? So that's why it wouldn't be anything specific.
Yeah, and I will say the Luke one, which we'll get to in a second, does the Luke and Rey one does get me a little excited. So now Rey, the Rey character only has four lines. Now I haven't picked these up, so there might be a fifth line, but we were only able to find the four lines here. So her lines are, "I'm Rey."
Classic.
Classic. You know, that's who she is.
Yep.
Then the Resistance sent me, which I'm assuming is like what she says to Luke. "Help me with this quick," which I feel is probably not talking to Luke, but maybe to like Finn or Poe or somebody.
The porgs actually help her get dressed in the morning.
Okay. Or Chewie. Yeah. And then "You're a monster." And then "You're a monster," which I think is amazing as a line. Because right now the speculation is she talking to Luke? Is she talking to Snoke? Is she talking to Kylo? Is she talking to a porg? You know, it could be anyone. But it is interesting to see like who is she talking to when she says "you're a monster," and that's definitely going to be something for us to talk, you know, to tie into our theories, you know, this morning. Beyond that, Luke, these are the ones that really, really get me going here with the theories and kind of craziness. So Luke has five lines: "Reach out with your feelings."
Yes, Yoda.
That's a very Yoda-ish line. So, you know, it's definitely got to be him talking to Rey, training on Ahch-To or something like that. "You shouldn't be here" could definitely be to Rey or to Chewie or to R2 on Octu, like, hey, why did you come get me off? I'm this man who went
to hide. I'm going to use this line to talk to my porg mug that I have to tell my porg he should be here.
Well, and then his next line is, how did you find me? Like, so it's directly tied to, like, why are they finding me on Octu? Like, you shouldn't be here. How did you find me? Like, what's going on? I do like the Vader-esque, Bespin, Luke Skywalker line. No! You know, I don't know what that's for, but, you know, there's a no, and they put four, three O's.
I have a few guesses.
He does. Well, and the funny part is, because in episode 5, which is the parallel, like, the second in a trilogy, just like this one, Luke says no when he finds out Darth Vader is his father.
That's so impossible! Yeah, exactly.
Does he scream no when he finds out Rey's his daughter?
Maybe.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to help you out, Mikey.
No,
yeah, well, I think it's no. To the Vader no, when Vader finds out Padme has died, it's going to be when Luke, it's during the flashback that we saw in the trailer, which is when he sees the Jedi Academy that he started, has been burned to the ground.
Or
be like, no.
Or it could be when he feels his sister, Leia, die.
Yeah, because Kylo killed her.
Well, maybe. We don't know. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities that we know. Just from what we know so far.
That we know.
That we know, yeah. and then this one I like a lot. This is also a very Yoda line / a grumpy old man. What do you know of the Force? it's like, you don't know anything. What do you know of the Force? I really like this as a grumpy, a grumpy Luke type recording. Sure. So that's that. So what do you guys think of these toys? Definitely, I think everyone should get them, or at least listen to the audio from them. They're pretty cool. Any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I don't have any shelf space personally for any more toys, but if friends of mine were to purchase these, I would definitely come over to their house and play with them.
Yes. Be like, hi, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Luke Skywalker, here to rescue you. All right. So next bit of news, the official Star Wars The Last Jedi website has launched. So that it's kind of cool. Like, did you guys get a chance to look at the website?
Briefly.
I got to turn the volume on because it's playing same music as soon as you open. So I will say the website doesn't have a lot of information, but it definitely is a well-done website and gets you pumped for the movie. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, oops, let's mute this. Sorry, I have the audio came on. So it is pretty basic. It has the three videos that we have, the teaser trailer, the new trailer, and the behind-the-scenes footage that we have there. So there's nothing we haven't seen on the website. It also has some photos, some still photographs, about 10 pages of still photos of just, you know, stuff to, advertisement for the film. Like we haven't seen, except there's a couple really cool, like, shots, I would assume, of, like, a First Order base on Canto Bite. You see a really nice close-up shot of the caretakers that are on Octu.
I was going to say, the caretakers, I don't think I've been following. I missed them.
Yeah, so we saw the caretakers in some of the different photo stuff, but the caretakers photo there, so it's really nice to see some of these things, like, nice. They're not screen caps from the trailer, so there's nothing we're seeing new, if you will, but they're all nice press release photos. I will say, my favorite is probably the Praetorian guards. Like, they no longer look like giant lobsters to me. In the shots that are on the website, and the TIE silencer of Kylo Ren's ship just looks super awesome, like in that kind of hero shot that they have there. So, what do you guys think of the website? Like I said, it doesn't really give us anything new per se, but it is kind of nice, and it also gives you a link directly to buy the tickets if you haven't purchased your tickets yet. I think most of us probably have.
Yeah, it's solid. It's definitely solid. I don't know how they integrate the video with the pictures and the sound and everything so nicely so that it loads on the browser the way it does, but it's certainly a huge, huge improvement over the way websites used to be. Like I was on StarWars.com when the prequels were coming out.
I remember the episode 1 stuff. Or the special edition, the anatomy of a dewback, right? You know,
not at all what we've got now, and I think we should just all feel blessed. I mean, that stuff was cool too, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I mean, this is very smooth.
Yeah, no, definitely.
This would never load on 56K.
Oh gosh, no. Well, it's got like HD video playing, there's photos, like high res. Yeah, you would never do that. But yeah, so the official The Last Jedi website has launched. It doesn't really tell us anything new, but I'm sure as we get new stuff, it might be there. I will say I'm probably going to actually spend some time just playing around on the website, cuz you never know if there's an Easter egg. Disney does that stuff with their Marvel stuff. They haven't really done it with Star Wars, but you never know. Like, Ryan Johnson might be like, okay, we're going to do this for, like, the people who spend a lot of time on the browser and just really click around. Maybe will it be something.
And I think the article that you shared with it, they did try looking for Easter eggs. That's not to say they're not there. They just, when they wrote the article, they hadn't found any as of that moment.
Yeah, because, you know, the article is written 2 hours after the website went up.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
So, I think I can spend more than 2 hours on the website. maybe I have too much free time on my hand. Anyway, moving on. So the last bit of news that I want to talk about before we go into our spotlight topic is just a recap real quick of Star Wars Rebels, this week's Rebels. I know Danya is the one who usually gets to watch it with me as it airs. Caitlin, Eric, I know I'm going to be spoiling this to you, but I just want to do a quick recap and with my thoughts from it, because I will say these episodes coming out, Star Wars Rebels, are kind of awesome. So
looks
we
like
had
Saw Gerrera's back.
Saw is back, and I have a love hate relationship when he came in. I was really excited when he got there, but we'll talk about it. So This is episode 3 and 4 of Star Wars Rebels, and so this is the second day it is, but episode 3 and 4, and it's called In the Name of the Rebellion, and Saw Gerrera is back. Just like in the trailer that we talked about last week, if you haven't seen it, you can go watch the trailer. Saw puts a message up and kind of taunts Mon Mothma that, you know, they're not doing what they need to do for the rebellion to actually take form. Again, we saw the first time that the rebellion actually goes to war and openly does war versus like the sneaking around that Cassian does is the Battle of Scarif that's in Rogue One, and then obviously the Battle of Yavin, which is A New Hope. And even the Battle of Scarif only happened because Jyn Erso and Cassian and, you know, Bodhi, and they all just kind of went to, you know, rest Scarif on their peace. Own. I know. May they all rest in peace. But they all went to Scarif on their own, and then Admiral Raddus and everyone else decided to follow suit and, like, help them out because, you know, these people are risking their lives. They have to believe in something. You know, there's something there. So Saw obviously has his own guiding light of what needs to happen, and he's definitely at odds here, whereas in season 3 and before he was working with the rebel cells. So this is at the time where you definitely see we're getting closer to the, you know, to where Rogue One takes place timeline wise. You see Hera kind of disagreeing a little bit with the rebellion, saying like it's orders we have, and she just wants to destroy a satellite. But their orders were to tap into it so they can better move their troops around. But the meat of this two-parter episode is really that Saw Gerrera comes in, saves Sabine and Ezra, which is like, as soon as I saw the U-Wing in Rebels, by the way. Saw Gerrera's U-Wing comes in, and it's just like, oh my god, is that Cassian? Is that Saw? Like, I was so excited when I saw the U-Wing. My wife just kind of laughed at me. But the U-Wing comes in, it shoots at a bunch of couple TIE fighters, a Star Destroyer, and then he saves Sabine and Ezra. But this is where you start to see where Saw is what Mon Mothma referred to as, he is a criminal. And what was referred to in Bloodlines, Saw Gerrera was considered a terrorist. He's definitely gone further than what the rebellion did, you know, whereas, you know, the rebels had like, no, we help people, you know, innocent people. Saw Gerrera is willing to sacrifice anything to get the means to the ends, but he also sees things that the rebels are kind of not necessarily willing to admit, if you will. So a good example would be Saw is convinced of some super weapon the Empire's building, whereas the rest of the Rebel Alliance at this point doesn't believe that it's there, which we all know the Empire's building, the Death Star. And so Saw, Sabine, and Ezra hop aboard a kind of a, you know, normal transport, and they find this giant kyber crystal, which they know can be used to be some type of weapon. And, you know, Ezra is confused of what it can actually do. And they find a bunch of prisoners who are engineers and power management people. And, you know, Saw just wants to sacrifice them. But Ezra's like, no, we need to free them, if you will. And so much so that Saw, just to make sure that the Empire doesn't get the crystal, he sets it up to overload, and it literally blows up this entire cargo vessel and a Star Destroyer. Luckily, Ezra and Sabine are the good people, along with Chopper. They get the engineers off in a shuttle, and of course the crew of the Ghost save the day. But it's definitely kind of a turning point. It's like, you can see where there's contention in the Rebel Alliance. So I will say, I am definitely a fan of this episode. Take a look at it. It will tie a lot of storylines from, you know, Rogue One, Rebels, A New Hope, you know, the comics, like all the things. Like, it ties a lot of things together, which is really cool. So definitely take a look at it. If not, read the recap on Star Wars' website. Plus, there's also Rebels Recon for this episode. There's, you know, who can go wrong when there's Saw Gerrera there on it?
Nobody.
Anyway. Yeah, it's great. I loved it. So, any thoughts on that? I know you guys haven't seen it, so I kind of gave a quick breakdown of the whole thing. I personally love the episode. I think I actually liked it more than last week's Mandalore episode. I just can't wait for the next episodes of Rebels. Anything else?
I'm excited. Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
I will be living for those moments when the show has those little Easter eggs and ties into and heavily foreshadows and leads directly into events of the films. I love it. You know, it's nice when an animated series and episodes stand on their own and are on their own really, really good. But those moments when it can do both, be awesome and tie into the films, is perfect.
Yeah, no, I really like it. So it's definitely something. Take a chance to look at it. Anyway. Moving on to our spotlight topic, let's talk about some of the common theories that have popped up and why we like them or don't like them. So, this is Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer theories. Obviously, if you've watched the trailer, there's definitely a certain story that is told. And certain things, I will say, happen or don't happen and are made us to think certain things happen. So, first one that has a lot of people talking, especially on Tumblr, is Kylo Ren and Rey as a love interest. The yin and the yang, the dark and the light, you know, together as one. What do you guys think of this?
No. I like Brack's answer. Barf.
Oh,
just know.
Yeah, just know.
I will say, Hypeable has an interesting article about it. And they talk about it, how they, and I wish Donya was here because she can probably have a really good stay on this. The Hypeable article talks about they hope this is not canon. But obviously, when you look at the trailer, arguments for this is, you know, he says, you know, Rey says, I need someone to teach me, you know, and he reaches out his hand. Now, I am 100% convinced that these are from two separate scenes. You know,
yes.
For me, like, again, the argument is, when Kylo Ren, you see him, there it's burning in the background, the light does flicker on his face, and then you have, Kylo Ren on the other, Rey on the other side, and it's just the amber light, solid, not moving, like it's, a stationary light, or the sunset, or something. So I feel like they're from two
separate
lanes.
That's a common technique in trailers to splice together. I feel like this trailer does it a number of times.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a lot of things here that I feel like are there. Like, a good example is also, like, I won't say it right now because I think we don't even talk about it because I don't think anyone's, like, saying this is the big thing. But, like, honestly, seeing Kylo Ren shoot at the ship that we think General Leia's on, like, yeah. I don't think that actually happens at all.
Oh, I do think that's a thing.
No, I don't think that happens at all. I don't think... Well, so here's the thing is, I don't know if that happens. I don't think he hesitates at all, because he thinks it's his mom. I don't think he hesitates. I think it's just, he's waiting to get in position, and we'll see other stuff. And I think they made it feel like that's it. Because we do know that Leia gets injured somewhere in this film, and that's when Poe has to step up, along with Laura Dern's character. So we have two rival
crazy
factions.
Crazy editing. If he doesn't hesitate, that would be crazy editing, because he's shown on screen hesitating. So, but I understand you're saying, like, oh, he's just getting into position, but I don't know. I actually see his face. It looks, again, spliced together with Leia. It looks like he's about to shoot on her, but I will keep an open mind because this trailer does that quite a lot. I will say all these theories, including the Kylo and Rey love interest one, seemed a whole lot more plausible. This entire list I probably would have subscribed to right after seeing the trailer for the first time. But watching it just before recording this episode tonight, I can safely say that I no longer subscribe to, like, any of them. I really don't think that Kylo and Rey are going to be a thing necessarily. I wonder if her line, "I need someone to show me," is actually not just a ruse planned either by her or her and Luke to sort of gain Kylo's trust. I think that, you know, maybe that would be a clever way of
Or that line literally could have just been like to Luke, "I need someone to show me what the Force is like."
Yeah, that could have been to Luke.
So many. Like, that's the thing is with trailers, things can be taken out of context so much that it's kind of hard to say like what's right and what's wrong.
Well, and like follow up of the, you know, the toy quote that we had that we talked about earlier, where he's like, "What do you know about the Force?" And she goes, "I need somebody to teach me."
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that can be revealed here. So,
but love interest. I mean, he just reaches his arm out for crying out loud. She doesn't even take it in the trailer. So they don't even touch. I'm going to go on record and say Kylo and Ren won't even touch this movie.
And as much as there was tension between them in The Force Awakens, I didn't ever read it as sexual tension.
Yeah. Right. Well, and then there's also the what girl line. You know, I do see that, like, there is a sort of symmetry if you were to have Kylo and Rey together. But, you know, it feels too forced for me. You know, it really does.
Forced.
Is The Force Awakened?
So I don't know if that's going to be.
Like, I mean, you ship who you want to ship, but I don't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's you know, for the longest time, I was a Harry Ginny shipper. You know, it just so happened to happen, you know, in the books themselves, Harry Potter. I know I got yelled at by a lot of people who are Harry Hermione shippers, but it's one of those things where, like, Rey and Kylo, I just don't see it happen as a romance, but. You know, there are, like I said, it is a perfect balance between the two. You know, one is dark, one's light. The downside is they could be cousins.
Yeah, they're probably cousins.
First cousins, too.
Yeah.
Not like, even like 18th cousin twice removed.
Yeah. Well, because it's also like, and there's people also arguing that she's like Leia's daughter and Han's daughter, too. It's like, well, that's even worse than their brother and sister. Like, that's just like.
Brother and sister.
That's bad. So I don't think the love between Rey and Kylo is actually there, but
again, I'm keeping an open mind. You know,
I'll keep an open mind. And if you have an argument why you think this romance should kindle and grow strong, let us know. Tweet at us at our radio podcast or drop us a line on the comments in on our website. I don't know.
I will say, if the Kylo Rey thing does happen and they are romantically involved, I am so glad that it happens in a Rian Johnson film, because he takes care of his characters. And if it happens, we'll be coming out of this movie going, "Oh man, that was always meant to happen."
Yeah, versus something like, and as much as I love George Lucas, like, sand, it gets everywhere. It's coarse. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Moving on.
So forced. This.
So. Going back to the next theory that I've seen a lot, Snoke turns Rey to the dark side. Rey goes dark. Now, when you look at the lines here, I'm going to reread the lines that Snoke says in the trailer. So the first part of the trailer opens up with Snoke's lines. Now, again, there's other things that happen. You know, you see pictures and music and all that stuff. But the lines from Snoke is, "When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special." You know, this is something that he says. Now, we're meant to assume that's talking to Kylo. But obviously, and then at the end, we see Snoke actually holding Rey, like Force-like. They're in a single shot that, you know, Snoke is reaching out, and then you see Rey, which I made my joke about. Now, this is Pod Rey scene, where she's kind of all held up in the air by the Force, and Snoke is holding her. And then he says, "Fulfill your destiny."
I think she's being suspended. Yeah.
Yeah, she's being suspended.
I wouldn't say holding her like it's like cuddling, like, you know, it's like he's being endearing right now.
Yeah, he's not endearing at all. So
she appears to be in pain, a great deal of pain.
Like he says, fulfill your destiny. So when you look at it, if I'd read it all as one, when I found you, I saw raw, untamed power, and beyond that, something truly special. Fulfill your destiny. Like, those are the lines. Now, you know, early on when this trailer first came out, as I watched it more and more, I'm like, maybe Snoke is talking to Rey the whole time through that whole trailer. Everything else that happens in between is just kind of to tell you some of the story. But it would work if he was talking to simply Rey. And you have to remember, going back to The Force Awakens, you know, he asks, like, the girl escaped. He says, what girl? He gets really loud, like he knows who she is. He also made a comment about Luke Skywalker cannot be found. You know, the map to Skywalker, you know, cannot be found by the Resistance because Luke, the Last Jedi, is the, you know, cannot be returned. Because if Luke comes back, it's going to ruin all his plans. Luke is that powerful. So I have a feeling that, like, Luke and Rey might be connected some way. Again, I think she's his daughter. I've said that for, you know, years. But it's one of those things where I think Snoke might be talking to her all the way through. Could Snoke possibly turn Rey to the dark side?
I want him to be talking to Kylo the whole way through because I don't want him to be sort of a deadbeat mentor. I mean, he has been mentoring Kylo this whole time. Kylo was about to complete his training, and I think Kylo's journey, as shown in this trailer, seems to be that he's going to have to kill his own mother to really complete his training now. Like, he killed his dad, great, that's great. But there's still a part of him that is very clearly clinging towards the light. And I think that Snoke is saying these lines in the trailer to kind of build him up, to kind of pep him up. It's sort of like you know, Kylo needs a pep talk. And I do think that the line, so I think we can side with the more obvious, like, what it appears to be. I do think he's talking to Kylo. That said, in this trailer, Luke has a line where he says, I've only seen raw power. Like, then he uses that same word, raw power. He says, I've only seen raw power like this once before, and it didn't scare me then, and it sure as shit scares me now, whatever he says. But because he calls Rey's power raw as well, I think that definitely is a point in the direction of, well, Snoke could be talking about Rey, because whatever it is that Kylo and Rey have, their connection with the Force, for some reason, it seems to be stronger than normal. Or stronger than what Luke, you know, grew to expect, and stronger than what Snoke is presumably familiar with.
Well, and here's the other argument. You know, I mentioned this when we did our trailer episode, I think, or with Danya a week after, is, you know, when Luke says the line, I've only seen this raw power once before, and I wasn't afraid. Let me see, what's the exact line? Sorry, I'm trying to pull it up here. Luke says, I've seen this raw strength only once before. So he doesn't say the power. He says raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now. This goes back to Empire Strikes Back when Luke says, I'm not afraid. And Yoda tells him, you will be. Exactly. So could this not be referring to, instead of with Kylo, which is what we're meant to believe, could this not be a thread that ties us all the way back to the original trilogy? You know, I saw this once before in Anakin Skywalker. And then he sees it now in him. Now, you have to remember, we also know that Anakin was born of the Force. You know, he was, you know, the strongest midichlorian. You know, he was born of the midichlorians. He had no father, you know, the virgin birth and all that stuff. But it's one of those things where we heard early on, as Force Awakens was coming out, that in the next one, Rey is not going to be Luke's daughter. But it's going to be, he's going to tell her that she's his father. She's the reincarnation of the Chosen One. And this ties into like stuff from, and Caitlin, you'll understand this from the series, from the Clone Wars series, when we saw the, you know, the father, the son and the sister, and, you know, and the sister and the son were both the sister and the son were both the, you know, the light and dark side, if you would take Rey and Kylo, and the father was the one to bring balance between the two of them, which would be like Luke or Snoke, but it's like which way turns them one way or the other. So it's really interesting because this can tie a lot of different things together, from the prequels to the original trilogy to the Clone Wars series, if he's actually talking to Rey regarding Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, which we know Kylo Ren has an affinity for, too. So there's some really interesting things there. I don't think Snoke is the one to turn Rey to the dark side. I really don't think Rey falls to the dark at all.
No, because she's a ray of light.
I kind of agree with that, too, that she is so pure she can't be tainted. I think it's an inevitable part of a character's journey, at least if you're using the...
To be tempted, at least.
Well, yeah, the original series, the original trilogy as a blueprint, too, that she has to at some point be tempted to go over. Or, you know, there's a point where things have to seem so hopeless that she might consider it. But then again, like, given her fight in The Force Awakens with Kylo, all she has to do when she's on the losing end is close her eyes and, I don't know, think happy thoughts. She finds her inner peace, and it gives her strength. She's so pure. She's so unintentionally pure that it's possible she is, like, immune to the dark side entirely.
Because she did get very, like, aggressive, and, like, we've seen Luke get really aggressive before, too, but then he's managed to pull himself back. So
it's, like, finding that balance, you know, and that would that would work with Luke's line of, like, it's time for the Jedi to end, and a new type of Jedi, someone who really understands balance, you know, to rise up, you know what I mean? Like, because, again, when you look at, like, the prophecy, like, two Sith versus a whole Jedi Order, that's not balance. As much as the Jedi would want you to think it is, because they're, you know, there's more, you know, good. And then when you have the Sith destroyed, then there's only Luke left, Jedi. Well, that's not balance either. So there, you know, to really have balance, you have to be embody balance itself, and not have two separate factions. So who knows there? I don't think Rey turns to the dark side. If you do, let us know. You know, we would like to hear it. The next one is actually one that I kind of can see a little bit more, especially with the rewrites of third episode in this series, in this trilogy, is Luke is the villain and falls to the dark side, or comes really close to it, is the argument. So one of the biggest arguments for this theory is if you look at the... I've posted it in our show notes, and I've posted it in Discord for you guys to see. It's the archway banner for the IMAX showing. So this is a cardboard cutout that is being put in different theaters. My local AMC has it because they have an IMAX, and that's how I'm actually going to see it on Thursday. Okay. And you have the light side where you have Luke, Rey, Rose, Finn, Poe, Chewie, BB-8, Leia, Porgs, R2, C-3PO. You have all the characters, all the ships on the left side. That's the light side. And then on the other side, you know, and that's in red and bright white. And on the other side, it's kind of a gray, looks almost like grunge. And then it's the dark side, where it features prominently Kylo Ren, Snoke, Phasma, and Luke again. But this time, he's got his hood up.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Thoughts on this image? You know, thinking that Luke might go to the dark side.
It's a cool image. I'm going to give it that. It's cool.
it's a cool image.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think that with the reason Luke looks upset and has his hood over his head and that and is brooding is because he's looking at Kylo, his failure. He's looking down the barrel at his own failings and is a little upset about them. I think
You said upset. So remember what Yoda said, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. Like, has Luke in isolation, you know, just like, think about it this way. If Luke is having a temper tantrum because he failed and he's totally taking it out on himself the whole time, and is he just slowly spiraling without even knowing it down the path of the dark side?
If Luke, he's already, like, been there and overcome it. If he once, was ever going to go to the, if he's ever going to go to the dark side, it already would have happened. And I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. And even if he were upset after what happened with Kylo, I think he would understand that going to the dark side would be, I mean, why wasn't he joined up with Kylo? Or also that would be exactly what Kylo did, and that's why he can't handle it. Or also, if he was upset, the Porgs would cheer him up on Octu. Because the Porgs are the most adorable, healing creature. Yeah, delicious creatures. And I don't know how you could be angry and dark-sided if you're living on, if you choose to live on a planet with the world's cutest creatures in it.
All right. Caitlin, any thoughts on this?
I just, if anything, I feel like it's, again, showing the like the two-sidedness of the Force in terms of Luke feeling like maybe the Jedi need to be more in the middle, in the balance.
Ooh, maybe that's because you walk through the middle of the archways too, and you are the middle.
You are the balance. I like
you're
that.
The balance. Ooh, I like this.
And it's familiar imagery, right? Light side, dark side. We're used to this. We get it, but it's personified in this arch.
And then, sorry, just to go back, the other option, or it could be many options, the Luke with Kylo Ren, like, that's how he was when Kylo Ren betrayed him, right? And then you see him without the hood and him more, like, I wouldn't call him happy, but a little bit more, like, action ready with Rey, because Rey comes along and he decides to join in again.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that. You know, I guess if you really want to nitpick, it does look like his beard is a little bit shorter when he's on the dark side than he is on the light side. So maybe that was before, during a flashback. Not necessarily a flashback, but maybe Rey sees it in a Force vision of him going down the dark side when he was frustrated with the loss of Ben. But he comes back again, and he talks about, you know, she has to overcome her own, you know, confrontation with the dark side. Who knows? Anyway, moving on to theory number four that I've seen a lot of, and we have that Kylo Ren / Ben Solo is redeemed and joins Luke and Rey in their fight against Snoke and the First Order. What do you guys think about this?
This would be an interesting one, because I feel like there's probably Star Wars fans out there who are big Han Solo fans, big Han Solo fans, and they will say that Kylo can never be redeemed. They will never root for Kylo, even if he's a good guy. He's a whiny crybaby for what he did, for he killed Han Solo. Sorry, you don't get to come back from that. And I feel like...
Would you say that they're Solo in their opinion of this?
But you know, like, won't there be a group of people who are like, yeah, Kylo cannot be redeemed. Like, that's, you kill one of the three main people, maybe two of the three main people, you know... Is there any coming back from that, really?
Okay. So here's my argument then. So at the end of Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader is redeemed. Not only redeemed in the sense of saving his son from the Emperor by killing the Emperor, but he is redeemed in the Force. You know, there was good in him and run out. Remember, Vader stood by and watched Tarkin destroy an entire planet with the Death Star. Think about Vader in Rogue One, he went and slashed through, killed all those people.
And was Luke still redeemed at the end of Jedi.
And was still redeemed. So, yeah. like, if you're looking at body count, like, come on. Kylo Ren, yes, I know you've killed your fair share, but don't worry. Grandpa killed a whole lot more, and we forgave him. That's so true.
But if they want to do the parallel thing, then they have to wait to the end of Episode 9.
Yeah, I
would
agree.
Ain't none of those rebel guards were Han Solo, okay? I'm just going to say that. Han Solo was...
I get it. Again, I play devil's advocate sometimes here.
Yeah.
So I personally do not believe that Ben... I really, honestly, if I want my personal opinion, I don't want Kylo Ren to be redeemed at all. I want them to try to redeem him in this one, in Episode 9, but I want him to fail. I want him to fail and not be redeemed.
Well, I want him to fail to kill Leia. Like, I want it to be that he is, in fact, you know, supposed to shoot on Leia, that his emotion overcomes him. He can't do it. I would like a little reunion between him and Leia, and then I would like Snoke to kill him. Or, you know, him to be punished by them, because he's playing with things, with forces that he cannot bring himself to really understand or... grasp, and for that, I'm sorry, but he needs to be taken out. But I mean, obviously, I don't think that will happen until Episode 9. But yeah,
Are you saying he's like a kid playing with fire, something he doesn't really understand? And then
I think he's when it
burns and gets out of control, like cards, you know,
it's like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands. Yeah, yeah. I feel or Snoke. Yeah, yeah, trying to catch Snoke with your bare hands. I feel like. With Kylo, he's always been, unfortunately, a few steps behind the learning curve. And, you know, ultimately, I think he is probably a good character. Like, he was only ever manipulated. It was sort of a weak thread that Snoke was pulling at, his teenage angst and the fact that both his parents actually sucked at being parents. You know, but I think there's probably good in Kylo. I felt it. And he's probably going to try and come over. I don't think ultimately he will be a hero. I don't think ultimately, or if he is a hero, I don't think he's going to be allowed to like remain living as a good guy. I don't think anybody gets that kind of, you know, happy ending, but I'd like to see him at least try.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to see him as bad, like being bad at being a bad guy, as opposed to being like bad at being a good guy.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing: if you read the novelization of The Force Awakens, you know, Kylo Ren's, killing of Han Solo didn't help him do what he wanted to do. And one of our Patreons, Brack, who was on the show a couple episodes ago, said Darth Vader's redeemed because the one thing he couldn't bring himself to do was kill his own child. Kylo Ren was very deliberately killed his own father to further his journey to the dark side. And that's true. Like, he very deliberately killed Han Solo to move himself to the dark side. But in the novelization, you know, obviously we get these internal monologues and thoughts that we don't see on screen. And you kind of guess if you rewatch Force Awakens, you kind of see it in his face. It didn't have the effect that he wanted. And maybe that's what you were talking about too, Eric, that he has to have this confrontation with his mom to maybe even push him further. So there's definitely something where, you know, the death of, if his mom may or may not be what pushes him there, and maybe he can't be redeemed at all. I do want to move on because I want to know what else happens here. This one I thought was really fun when I saw it here, is that the Porg that's on the Millennium Falcon, Chewie adopts because he misses his family. What do you guys think of that?
Oh.
I like that idea. Like, Chewie takes on a Porg. Yeah? No?
Yeah.
He needs a friend. He needs a co-pilot.
He needs a co-pilot. Oh, well, he's got Rey. But yeah, I agree. A permanent co-pilot, a little buddy. Just don't feed him after midnight.
Yeah, he's a snack.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Chewie keeps him around because he gets hungry. I like that idea. All right, so the last one before we wrap up here is something that you put in here, Caitlin, I'm assuming.
No, that was not me.
That was not you. Was that you, Eric?
Wasn't me, but I like this. This is great.
It might have been Donya.
It might have been Donya, who unfortunately couldn't make it to us, was Resistance hero Poe Dameron might turn to the dark side in The Last Jedi. For me, I personally feel like this is like the most ridiculous like theory out there, and I can tell you why in a few moments. The main reason why is if you take a look at the lines that Poe Dameron says in the trailer, regardless of where he says them, the fact that these lines are said is, "We are the spark that will light the fire that will burn the First Order down." Poe Dameron is completely on the side of the Resistance. What side of the Resistance he's on, whether he's like a Saw Gerrera and a rogue fighter, or he's more like Mon Mothma, who knows?
So that's your justification for why he's good.
He's okay. Good.
But the theory springs from the Japanese translation of the trailer, which the translated text is, well, let me get this right here, actually. Might as well spend the time. The character description, which is posted somewhere, was officially translated to Japanese, and here is what it says. This is a character description for Poe. "Now that the conflict between the First Order and the Resistance has escalated into total war, Poe is a shining leader of the courageous flying battalion. But while he is a brave and skilled pilot, both the First Order and the Resistance alike are starting to fear his dedication to the war effort." So
I think this is part of the problem with translated texts. And at the same time, I'll tell you this. We do know that General Organa, Leia, gets injured at some point. And we were told that Laura Dern's character and Poe Dameron take up two different sides of the Resistance. Whereas Poe is more on Leia's side and kind of championing her voice, whereas Laura Dern is championing a different voice. So I can definitely see this argument here. He is the bravest goof by both the First Order and the Resistance, like, are starting to fear his dedication to the war effort. I think the word dedication is probably what's mistranslated here, or something that would mean something different, because I definitely could see the First Order would be frustrated with him because we know he is the best pilot in the Resistance. Kylo Ren recognized that, you know, in episode 7, so they know who he is, and in the lines from the like I said, they are the spark that burn, that can start the fire, that can burn the First Order down, so yeah. He's definitely dedicated to that, whereas with the Resistance alike, I think that's the butting heads of the different point of view between the factions inside the Resistance, battling each other, because you have to remember, so if we take a step back and just talk about the governments in Star Wars for a second. This is taking place right after Force Awakens. Think about it. In Force Awakens, the First Order destroyed the Republic. The Republic Senate, where all the senators, all the representatives from all these worlds that were gathered together to discuss law over the galaxy and civil kind of interaction, trade, whatever you might, have all been destroyed and dead. They're all killed. And the Resistance, which was kind of an offshoot because Leia was ostracized from this group because she was no longer a representative because of her ties to Darth Vader. You know, she started the Resistance because she saw the First Order as a threat. Well, obviously she was right, and without her saying "I told you so" to the rest of the galaxy, you know, the Resistance is all that's standing in the way from the First Order taking over and bringing about tyrannical rule again. With the General Leia getting hurt, I think Poe Dameron is definitely going to be championing her side, and that there's going to be some inner struggles of the Resistance, who's going to take over, because think about it. If you are going to become part of the new ruling government in the galaxy, that's unlimited power. So there's definitely people that would fight against you and not just be there. So I think, and I don't think he goes to the dark side, but you know, if you have more evidence why he does, I would love to hear it. I just don't think he does at all.
Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
Go on. No, you go.
Okay, I was just going to say, I think, like you were saying, the fear and the frustration, it's, like, maybe frustrated because he's so, like, eager to get things done in terms of, this is a bad comparison, but, like, Saw Gerrera, like, he's a little bit more extreme and aggressive and violent on how he feels the need to rebel against the First Order or the Old Republic or anything like that. So I feel like it's just him pushing maybe a little too much and being a little bit too aggressive.
A little overzealous, if you will. I don't think
it means he's going to go to the dark side or anything.
Yeah, the English translation of that same character description says, "Ever brash and foolhardy, his hotshot antics wear the patience of both the First Order and Resistance." So that seems to think that he's just, you know, he's a hotshot. He's kind of cocky, and what annoys both sides. So it seems like it might be innocuous, or, you know, as this article on Inverse.com speculates, maybe the Japanese translation does really uncover some hidden plot details. I just don't think he goes to the dark side because he's not force sensitive, so he can't.
There you go. Well, I think false to the dark side is also just a generic term.
He could betray his friends.
Personality-wise, I don't see him doing that.
I don't see him doing that. And if you know anything about Poe Dameron, who his parents were, they fought with the rebellion. You know, he was conceived during the celebration of, you know, Endor at the end of, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi. Like, come on. He's full on.
Let's play a really fun game here, then. Between Poe Dameron, whose backstory you just illuminated, Mikey, and Finn, who we know has already chosen the path of the light after being raised as a stormtrooper, and Rey, who is a beacon of the purest light anybody, including Luke, has ever seen, what is the order of likeliness that those three characters will turn dark? Who do you think is most likely to turn dark? Because I actually think Poe still might be first, even though I agree with you that Poe is
I don't think any of them can. I feel like it's like you're talking about Luke, Han, and Leia here. Like, none of them can turn the dark side. Like, I feel like Luke was tempted but
in the
obviously
books,
didn't.
Yeah, in the books, Luke does, right?
Well, in the extended universe that they retconned, at one point Luke does, but then Leia is able to have him come back, you know, from the light. So but then we also had like clone emperors and a bunch of other really bad stories and some really good stories of the EU. But yeah, anything else about trailer theories that were brought up through the trailer? No.
No, but it's what a trailer! It's so good.
It still gives me chills.
I know. I have it on my phone. Like, it's like, oh, I get to watch it this morning. I almost watch it every day, which maybe it's kind of sad, but I love watching it. It's just great. I can't wait. You know, it's one of those things where right now I'm finishing up all the details for to finish up with the movie tickets things. You know, I know some of you might be interested. So,
yes.
I rented a whole theater. So I got one theater confirmed, which was 80 seats. But I got more interest after I kind of told people I rented a whole theater. So I had to email the general manager back and said, hey, is there a bigger theater? So now I got a theater that's 130 seats. They're the reclining seats and everything. He's like, do you want to see it in 3D? I'm like, it costs too much. I can't afford to buy all those seats yet and have everyone, you know, pay me back. So, yeah. So I do have a full theater. It's confirmed and it's awesome. And I've gotten
how many people have RSVP'd to that then?
I have a really fancy checklist to make sure people are paying me for the tickets, because I just rented out the whole theater because, you know, it's Star Wars and it's me. I have currently 112 people that are 112
out of
tickets 130 that
possible seats,
138 possible seats. So,
oh yeah. My God.
So I just rented out the whole theater. There you go.
Is it all assigned?
Anyway,
do you know where everyone's sitting?
No, I'm going to be like first come, first serve. I'm not going to deal with that. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Eric.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Or what's the pork sound?
Oh, God.